Good morning, everyone. My name is Greg. I'm one of the pastors here, and Friday night I was one of the conductors. You saw the picture of Jeremy, Lori, and I. We served as conductors here for the Polar Express, and Jeremy gave me this hat that was fit for like a 10-year-old, so I jammed this thing on my head, and when I pulled it off, he's like, oh my word, you got like a deep line in your head, and I was like, yeah, it's going to be here tomorrow morning yet by the time I get that back to normal. But we had such a riot here, and one of the things that I did is we would punch those tickets with a little hole punch. And if you've seen the movie, like Tom Hanks goes off with that hole punch and punches out these names at brilliant speed and or words, and you would hand them to the kids and there'd be a word on it. And so I took one because I saw a family that I know quite well that was standing back there. I took one of these cards and it took me forever, like 5 minutes, but I punched out this woman's name on it. And then I walked up and said, have you had your ticket punched yet? And she said no, and she handed me her card. And I just started frantically punching it. It was making no sense. It was just random punches. But I turned and I switched it out, and I handed it back to her. And she's like, oh, my word. It's my name on here. It's like the movie. And I'm sharing it with you because, Sid, I just want to say sorry for doing that. That's full-on deception that I did to you. And I mean, I can't preach with that grave sin on my heart, so I just want to get that out here today. But we're going to be in Matthew chapter 1 this morning, and before we turn there, let's just pray over the preaching of the word. Lori has already done that, but Father, may you now. We had a chance to be conductors of the Polar Express on Friday night, but this is even more important. May you, the conductor, Holy Spirit of the Gospel Express, may this morning, even here, even now, may we speak me, may we hear everyone else, and be those that receive the gift of you. And so come. Amen. We're in Matthew chapter 1, and we're going to look at 18 through 25, verses 18 through 25. As you turn there, I just want to share a little bit about what I see happening in our culture today, and I'm really excited about this part of it, is that mystery is kind of taken front and center again. We're beginning to embrace ministry. This mystery, this generation is beginning to step in and step into that which we can't fully describe, but we won't deny. The mystery is something that we as a church have always embraced because we experience once in a while that place where it feels like heaven begins to overlap with earth. And whether we're singing a song and we just get left lost in it, whether we're in that place where we're like, man, I know my feet are on the ground, but I also know that something else is going on here, and I'm experiencing God in ways that I don't have the vocabulary to actually get it out, but I am feeling it and experiencing God in a powerful way. And if you think about the person on planet Earth, I don't know who that is, I know it's not me, but who has the largest vocabulary or even can speak multiple languages and so could pull nuances of words from different languages. If that person were to try to describe the God that we love and we serve, they could get somewhere down the road but not far enough because he defies description. I think about those places where heaven meets up with earth and the mundane suddenly is invaded by the sacred. And I think about Moses who stood before a burning bush and what happened in that moment where the bush was on fire and began to speak. And the mystery that how is this bush that's on fire but not being consumed, and suddenly I'm hearing the voice of God, heaven and earth met. Or the Israelites that are standing before a mountain. And they've stood before mountains before, not the first mountain they saw. And it began to thunder, not the first time that they heard thunder. But there was something about this mountain with this thunder and this moment that they recognize heaven and earth are meeting up. God is in the mountain and God is in the thundering. I think about a friend of mine who was describing being on top of a mountaintop out west at nighttime. And the stars are brilliantly lit up, unlike what we see around here where they get washed out by the city lights, just brilliantly lit up. And on that mountaintop, he began to ask God for a sign. God, if you're real, And I wouldn't recommend you do this. I'm just describing what he did, and it actually worked out good for him. But what he did is he just said, God, if you're real, show me a sign. And my first reaction when he told the story is like, are you kidding me? You're sitting on a mountaintop with a starlit night. Is this not enough to declare the glory of God? But he just said, give me a sign that you're real. And he was at a place in his life where he was just kind of entering that early 20s, and he was beginning to explore the things of God. And he said, I no more and got that out of my mouth. And a star ripped from left to right across the sky. And he's like, whoa. But he did what we would probably do with that and go, that's a wild coincidence. And he said, okay, God, okay. If you are real, send one from right to left, the other direction. He said, I know more, and said that. And a star ripped from the right to the left. And he's like, what is going on? Now, you can do whatever you want with that. You could say coincidence this direction and that direction, and that's fine. Maybe it was, maybe it wasn't, but I do know this, that that moment for him became a sacred, holy place that led him on a quest to explore the claims of Christ and who Jesus was, changed his life. It's the story of another friend of mine. His name is Jay. And Jay was driving from Grand Rapids, this is several years ago, making his way back to the Muskegon area in a winter storm. And what he, not actually a storm, it was black ice that he hit. But he's going down the highway and hit black ice. His car went sideways. When it hit the pavement, his car began to roll three different times, ended up off the highway. Before a man who saw this happen could even get out of his car and run his direction, thinking we are going to find something really bad here, Jay was already out of his car, standing there without a bruise on him. And the guy said to him, dude, do you believe in God? And Jay went, I do now, man. Well, as he was telling me that story, I'm like, Jay, you already believed in God. And he's like, stay with the story. That's a minor detail, man. I had adrenaline flying. I didn't know what else to say in the moment. I just said it. But that was a moment for him. Really, he said, time sort of stood still. I felt the presence of God in this vehicle as I was spinning. And over and got out and went, wow, heaven met earth. Or maybe it's when you're in that place where you're holding your child for the first time, David or Kylie, and holding them and going, this is incredible. Flesh of my flesh and bone of my bone, this is my child, and this is a miracle that I'm holding here. Or you're looking into the eyes of the one that you love and want to spend your lifetime with, and you're declaring your love for that person in this world for all of time with them. Whatever it is, those spaces where heaven meets earth, something else happens. Like time is different there. Maybe it almost doesn't exist there. And that space where you're just, your senses are higher and the joy maybe runs deeper, or your experiences just run richer in those moments. This is one of those stories. Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 and following, we'll read through the end of the chapter. Joseph experiences a heaven meets earth moment. This is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law, and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. Amazing story here. And the mystery that we step into this story, and again, mystery as I'm describing it, is that we cannot fully describe it. But there is no way to actually deny it. The mystery that is this story actually began last week when we were sharing the first 17 verses. This is the entirety of the first chapter of the book of Matthew now, the first 17 verses in it, where we have one name after another, one person after another that is part of Jesus' lineage, his ancestry, all these humans that line up toward him, beginning with Abraham and working their way to David and eventually find their way to Jesus, the Messiah. And part of the mystery is in that it did not actually stay just humans. But we see a prophet some 600 or 700 years before Jesus ever stepped foot on this earth in this fashion in the person of Christ. We see a prophet saying these words in Isaiah chapter 9. For unto us a child is born, a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne. This prophet is talking about a Messiah that would be coming. He's talking about a man that will come into this world, will be born in this world, and will eventually grow to the place that as a man, he will be a king that sits on the throne of David. And if you're going to sit on David's throne, you have to come from the lineage of David. And so what Matthew does is he paints the picture in the first 17 verses of Abraham to David, David to Jesus. This lineage, this ancestry, all one human after another. And then we bang into these next 8 verses that we just read. We move from one human after another to the words about where the gift of conception begins to happen inside of Joseph's wife, Mary. And it's from the Holy Spirit, a dream. And he begins to understand that this birth isn't earthly, it's heavenly, and heaven begins to meet up with earth. And here's the mystery, right? We can talk about it, but we can't fully grasp it. We can understand it, but not to its full entirety. And Matthew, what he does, I think is just brilliant. And Matthew chapter 1 became my favorite opening chapter of any of the Gospels this past week because of this. It's just brilliant what he does. Before the readers, before we who are on this quest together over this next year and a half, reading through the Gospel of Matthew, before we even get off the first page, hardly, we are already being told by Matthew, I want to make it really clear that the one that you're on a quest to discover, the one whose life you want to emulate, the one who broke into this world for you, yes, he is fully human. There's a line that goes all the way back to Abraham through individuals to the line of David, through more individuals, family tree of Joseph and Mary chasing this down to the point where we have Jesus. He is fully human, completely human, and comes from humankind. And yet, at the same time, the birth started from heaven itself. And the conception itself is that of the Holy Spirit, meaning this one that you're about to read about, this one that you're about to discover, this one that you're about to see what he did in this world and how he lived, how he loved, what he stood for. This one is not just human, but he's also divine. He is fully divine, fully God, and fully human. In fact, the very same prophet that said his name will be Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, and Everlasting Father, he'll be the Prince of Peace. He's coming from the line of David and will sit on that throne is the King above all kings. This one, he says, didn't just come from a human line. Chapter 7, verse 14, we read these words. That the virgin will conceive. A virgin who's never been with a man is going to conceive. And she's going to give birth to a son. And his name, it'll be Emmanuel. Which means God is going to be among us. God himself is going to move in among us, take up proximity with us. Heaven is about to meet earth. Yeah. Matthew, brilliant opening. 17 verses. Let me tell you who he is. He comes from this human line. Let me tell you who he is. He comes from heaven itself. This one is fully human, fully divine. Heaven and earth, they meet up with one another. And it's into this mystery that Joseph gets invited. Into this indescribable and describable, into this place where I can describe it and I cannot fully describe it. And if I can't fully describe it, yet I will not deny it moment. Joseph gets invited by an angel of the Lord that shows up to him and begins to speak to him. First time that Joseph dreamt? No way. First time that he remembered a dream? No way. First time the Israelites heard thunder? No way. First time they were before the mountain? Uh-uh. And yet there was something in that thunder and in that mountain. First time that Moses stood before a bush? No. This wasn't the first time that Joseph dreamt. But this dream was different. And he woke up and he knew it was different. That God was in this dream because there was an overlap between heaven and between earth. Now, where this started, just like the Gospel of Matthew, it started very earthly. Where it started very normal. It started with a ceremony that was a private one. And when you were going to get married, in the day of Joseph and Mary, in the day of Jesus, what would have happened would have been two stages of what they call betrothal. And the first stage would have been this one right here. First stage would have been that there would be an arrangement that would be made. Here's how it happened. Mary's parents and Joseph's parents would have come together, and Mary would have probably been younger than Joseph because there were more men during that day than there were women that were available for marriage. And so what they would have done is there would have been a guy that maybe was 15, 16, 17 years old and probably getting married about 18. And then you would have a woman that's maybe 12, 13 years old. So somewhere between 12, 13 years old, Mary's in that place where her parents come and with Joseph's parents, and they have this agreement that when the time comes, it will be Mary and Joseph for a lifetime. Stage one. An arrangement was made by the parents to have these two be with one another, legally bound for a lifetime together. Stage two of the betrothal would have went this way. So it would have been a public announcement would be made at somewhere around the age of 15, 16 for the woman, about 18 for the man, and the public announcement would have been made. They would go public with the knowledge that had previously been private. And at that moment, you would enter into a one-year period before, and I want to be really clear on this, before the marriage ceremony. This is different than us in this way. And a lot of times, those of you that are getting engaged and or have been engaged will think about how long should the engagement be, and maybe about a year so we have enough time to get everything in order. Others are saying, no, I'd like it shorter, I'd like it longer. This would have been different, because what we're doing is saying, we are going to be married. I want to marry you. I want to set a date with you, at which point we will stand before God and human witnesses and say our I do's. This is their I do's. The moment they make a public announcement, the moment they go public with it, it is legally binding, meaning they are married at that moment. At that moment, if one of them, if Joseph were to have died, or Mary were to have died, or whoever was getting married, the other would be considered a widow or widower at that moment. If one of them cheated on the other one, this wasn't just a fling. What it was actually adultery, and it would result in divorce. Now, at the end of all of this, there would have been, and this in the next slide, please, it would have been that there would have been a marriage ceremony, a celebration, a consummation of the marriage. 1 year later, that would have happened, that they would have been legally bound, they would have been considered married, they would have been considered a unit that was joined for a lifetime, but for a period of 1 year, they would not be together. For a period of 1 year, they would not consummate the marriage. For a period of 1 year, they would wait so that they could have the celebration and then the consummation. And they don't do that anymore. I have no idea why they would do away with such a cool practice as that, right? Why would they do that? But they don't do that anymore, but they did then. So imagine this. This is how we do things. This is how it happens on planet Earth. This is what we do. Mom and Dad came together and they said, the two of us, someday we're going to be married. We've gone public with this thing and we've been legally bound to one another now. We are married. In fact, you can even see the language in the scripture where it talks about Joseph being, and we can pull that slide up too, that Joseph was her husband. Because Joseph, her husband, even though they had not been together yet, the period of 1 year isn't over. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law, he had in his mind to divorce her quietly because word came to him, your wife's pregnant. Imagine that. She's pregnant. Time out. We've not been together. And it says, because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law. I used to read this and think about this and think, well, what that actually says is he's going to divorce her quietly and not put shame on her in the public because he's just a good guy. That's what it's saying. He's a good guy. It's actually more than that. What's actually happening here is because he's faithful to the law, he is a righteous man, there is in the Jewish system of that day, a whole bunch of those systems were such that if there was adultery, there was a divorce. That was the only way to roll. And it was based on the law in this way. And Jesus did much to undo that and to get us thinking rightly about grace and to get us thinking rightly about forgiveness. Paul wrote about that in the New Testament. It's full that we're no longer under this law. We are under grace at this point. But in that day, and likely for Joseph, and this would tip toward it when we read it, because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law, because he was a law-abiding, the Word of God-abiding sort of man, what for him would have been necessary, according to the teachings of that day, would have been this. Because you are right with God, and she clearly is wrong with God, if you choose to stay with her and crawl up next to what is wrong with God, you too will then be wrong with God. You have no choice but to divorce her. And Joseph is thinking it through and thinking, according to the law, this is what I must do. And he sets his mind toward that. I have two options. I can make a public disgrace of her, or I can do it quietly. I'll go this route. But we're done. And then heaven meets up with earth. An angel comes to him in a dream and appears to him, Joseph, what's conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. And the one that she's going to give birth to is going to be a boy. And he has a name already. His name is Jesus. He is going to be the Savior of his people. Well, what do you do with that? I mean, really, enter the story with me. What do you do with that? At that point, Joseph has a reputation. He is a man that is considered faithful in the eyes of God and in the eyes of people. He's a man that is considered a righteous person in the eyes of God and the eyes of people. Mostly the eyes of people. He's thinking, I'm sure, at that moment, like, I have to do what is right by, not just by God according to what I believe, but also by what other people will think of me as well. What do you do at that moment? When you hear from God that what is in her is not by human conception, but by God Himself, the Holy Spirit. Because you know the road. You know what's going to happen. You know that the next steps, she's not going to keep this a secret. As you wait for the period of that year, that's not going to happen. She is going to begin to show. And then what are people going to say? And how are they going to act? And will we be all, both of us then, considered outside? We'll be considered wrong with God, even though I could obey God and be right with Him, or look on the outside like I'm right with Him and know on the inside I'm not right with Him. What do you do when the wheels start to come off and when you're heading down the road? And this is a real question. Like, what do you do in life? When you've mapped out your life and you've got this long, straight road that's planned for you, and you're thinking to yourself, here's my plan. Like, I'm going to go to college, and then I'm going to get married, and then we're going to have children. And after we have our 2.5 children, 2.5 children, then we're going to move on. I'm going to make a great living. And what we're going to do is we're going to go on amazing vacations together. And what we're going to do is we're going to post that on Facebook. And then, but the difference between us and everybody else is when we put those pictures on and we're all smiling, it's not like we're fighting right after that. We don't do that because we have so much joy in our family. We're going to be happy all the time. And it's going to be amazing. This is a journey. And you're traveling down that road and you find there is a hard right turn on this thing, and it goes from pavement to a rocky road. What do you do at that point? When you're saying, I don't know if we can keep the wheels on this thing. And your head begins to spin. What happens when life happens? What do you do? What did Joseph do at this moment? Because this wasn't just a dream. I've dreamt before, but this was God. And this man who was faithful, this man who was right with God, chose to stay right by God, even though on the outside it might not look like it. What did he do? He hit pause long enough to think. He was on a move, heading down the road, heading in a certain direction, had his mind made up, I'm gonna divorce her. And he went, boom, pause. Breathe. Think. He began to listen. What is God speaking? What is this? Seems like it can't be true. This I can't deny what happened in this dream. I can't fully describe it. But I'm going to choose to actually listen and to hear the voice of God in this. And then Joseph chose to do something about it. He chose to obey. Chose to do what God said to do. Don't be afraid, Joseph. This is from God. There's a plan here that you cannot fully grasp. But man, when it unfolds, He's going to be the Savior of His people. Will you choose to take the risk and step in with me on this? And take Mary as your wife and bring her home. Bring her home to be your wife. And we know the story. We know what he did. He did just that. When I think about this world that we live in, and I want to drill down for you and me, what does this mean for us? I don't know where God's going to show up, because I don't control God any more than any of us do or even could if we wanted to. We can't. We can't orchestrate how God shows up and when God shows up any more than we can control the wind. Like, the wind is going to blow, right? The other night when we had the gathering of all of us that were here, we we had Friday night. This place is packed out with popcorn and stuff like that. It hit us at the end of this thing that people are going to be coming out. Ever come out of a movie theater and everybody's coming out and dumping trash? We had like 800 people in here with all kinds of trash. And we're like, I don't think we have enough trash cans. We better get ready for all this. Everybody's coming out. We piled up trash cans. And I took the trash, some of the trash bags, and I put them outside out front there and just stuck them out on the pavement so they didn't leak on our carpet. I thought, I'll just come by later and throw them in the back of my pickup truck and throw them out. Well, about 10:30 at night, I lay in there and talking to my wife, and I went, oh my word, I heard the wind starting to blow, and I went, I left those bags out front. I'm about to litter all of our neighbors. Fairhaven, we love you guys. Like, we're going to be the worst neighbors ever. So at 10:30 at night, I'm like, Kathy, I got to rock. I put on a pair of Crocs and my shorts and a big old Carhartt coat. I looked something beautiful. I'm telling you, man, I was amazing. I drove down here. I loaded up the trash in the back of my truck because I'm like, we cannot be bad neighbors. But I can't control what the wind's going to do. I can't control what the wind's going to do, and we can't control what God's going to do. But when God begins to move, and you can't fully describe it, but there is no denying it, what do you do? What do you do when you sense God is moving here? Pause. Take it in. Hit the pause button for a minute. What's he trying to say? How is he speaking to me? What does this mean for my life? Listen. Listen. And as Joseph listened, here's one thing that I absolutely know is true, that sometimes we have to recognize, we will have to recognize, because God is not bound by people and what people think, that we do not confuse the will of the majority with the will of God. Say that again. Do not confuse the will of the majority with the will of God. Because Joseph was in that place like, man, if I do this, people are going to think and wonder. Don't confuse the will of the majority out there for the will of God. And then finally, obey. And I know this to be true in my life. And I know this is one thing I can say with absolute certainty. I know that if God is in it and God is asking you to do something, there will not be a moment where you will be on the backside of this thing thinking to yourself, I obeyed God and wished I wouldn't have. That doesn't mean it won't be a rough road. It was not an easy road, and we'll chase the road here over the weeks to come. It doesn't mean it won't be a rough road, but in the midst of it, I have never had a single time in my life where I have obeyed God and wished I hadn't. But I can tell you time after time after time after time again, when I've disobeyed, when I thought this is what I should do, this is where I know God is calling me to go, and when I don't go there, I have never, not once, been glad I didn't. If we this week, as we think about the front end, we're only one chapter in, which means we're going to slow down, right? If we're at this for the next year and a half, we have 27 more chapters to go, and we're going to be diving in deeper. But on the front end of this quest together, if we can be the kind of people that say, these three things, they're going to mark me, and we've got the first chapter down before we dive in. First chapter, Jesus comes from people, and he came from God. He is fully human, and he is fully divine. We're about to take a deep dive into the way that he lived and loved and served in this world. And I know who we're dealing with now. It's the one who was and is and always will be, that broke into our existence. And when heaven meets earth for me, I begin to hear the voice of God. I'm going to pause. If these were practices that every one of us had, I'll pause and listen. And then do. God's going to get a lot of glory, and we're going to experience a lot of joy. Let's pray together. Father, now as we, again on the front end of this, we're just one chapter in, as we think about you, that you so loved this world, that you gave, you came, You stepped off the throne to be born in human likeness. You come from a family that is very earthly, and you come from heaven itself. And when we have that moment that Joseph did, where heaven and earth overlap, we have these holy moments that invite us into the same practice he did, to pause, to pay real close attention. This moment is not like others. To listen to your voice above every single other voice. We want to be a people that don't mistake the will of the majority for your will. We want to be sold out for you. And then to step in obeying, knowing that there will never be a time where we obey you and at the backside of it regret it. Because you're good all the time. And so come now and minister through and to these your people and to me. In your name we pray. Amen.